Live from the heart of the universe, this is the online edition of the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright
With tonight's guest, spiritual leader and internationally best-selling author, Tracy J. Smith.
Look at the night sky. Look at the night sky.
And performance guest, Ruby Chase. I am Mark Lejeune, and now our host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
A couple of days ago, I saw an Instagram post, and I liked it, and then I saw another one, and then another one, and then I was thinking about that one that I saw, that I thought, I want to go back to that one and save it, or maybe even send it to somebody, but I couldn't find it. Has that ever happened to you? And the Instagram post was gone forever, and gone in more ways than one, because sometimes that happens to me, and I then go online and try and find the story that I found on the Instagram post, or and I'll find the story, or I'll find a video that somebody did on it. So people are having these different conversations, and some people are posting them on Instagram, but this, I did go to do a search online and couldn't find a video. I couldn't find a story. I couldn't find a blog. Nobody that I could find has talked about this. So what was this? So this was, from what I can remember, that the Instagram post was saying, when we look at art, we are vibrationally taking in the karma of the artist, because their karma goes into the work. And when we reflect on it, not when we see it is one thing, but when we look, reflect on it and just stand in front of it and look at it, that we are giving consent to that karma to be in our energy field. And I thought, like, wow, that's very powerful, and also potentially very dangerous for the kind of art that we might not only go out and see, but maybe bring into our homes. So it's interesting, and I'm so grateful that it was fresh in my mind when I had a call with our guest, Tracy Smith. And while she was talking, and I was smiling probably on the outside too, but internally, as I'm listening to her lovely voice and the lovely things she was saying and the beautiful words she was using, and I got a feeling like that everything she was imparting love, she was imparting caring beyond the words, beyond the voice, beyond the conversation. And I thought, oh, and I said to her, I said, Tracy, I just saw this Instagram post on the artist, etc., just like I just shared. And I said, so I'm feeling this with you in the sense that it's not just art, it's what I have felt in your book, which you're going to talk about in a little bit, as I'm going through the pages, is actually one of the first things I said to her, come to think of it. When I did say that. I said, I feel like you were putting all your love into this book, and you were really caring and wanting to make sure that people were getting all the different concepts and all of that. So I said, that's what that Instagram post was saying. And she said, of course, that's how it works. And then she added to the conversation. She said, you know, Filippo, this, and this. And I was listening and so grateful for this conversation that matters. And I was also being so grateful that she was going to be on our guest today on the show, so that we could share and have this kind of conversation with somebody just like her, in fact, her, on the show tonight, so you all could feel what we're talking about,
which means we're going to align with all her karma.
Okay.
For those that don't like the word karma, I wanted to expand on that, because I've been reading some things similar, and I think the idea is that when you set your intention into that attachment, to that acceptance, you're tapping into their vibration as a whole, which, yes, there is no past, present, or future. So it's not necessarily the boomerang concept of karma, but it is definitely the myriad of frequencies that we bring forward. And so therefore, somebody that's showing up like you're mentioning our guest is holding that higher vibration. Somebody else that may be operating through wounds or trauma is showing up with a whole different series of vibrations.
Well, speaking of showing up, when we tuned into Tracy Smith being on the show, then we tuned into Ruby Chase being on the show. And her whole thing is really focusing and taking her listeners on a journey. And it's in a ritualistic kind of approach. And
yeah, we had to tighten everything down, too, to be able to hold the high vibration.
Exactly. And actually, from the words she uses in her music and, of course, even the frequencies and then her voice, this show.
Well, one last thing I'll mention is that in the modern day, this sounds metaphysical or woo-woo or spiritual, yet we all grew up with them talking about how a mother or a grandmother or a father puts love in it when they cook. It would be the same principle, I think.
Indeed. Very nice. And with that, inspired by our guest, we have titled this episode, Be Empowered to Live a Life Fulfilled with Purpose, Authenticity, and Love. This is our episode 858 of the Life Changes Show. And our very special interview guest is a speaker, a spiritual leader, an international best-selling author of Women Who Trust. And we're going to be speaking about another one of her books today. And she's a guide and owner of Blissful Release Now. She is Tracy J. Smith. Welcome, Tracy, to the Life Changes Show.
Well, thank you. Wonderful introduction and all your different perspectives of energy, karma, definitions. Yes. And then looking forward to hearing beautiful Ruby Chase taking all the listeners and us on a journey.
Well, the journey has started, and actually this particular journey started when Dr. Rhonda Donahue introduced me to you. And then I had the pleasure of sitting in between the two of you. And my exact words were to Dr. Rhonda afterwards, I feel like I had an out-of-body experience. The energy of the two you bring and together was just out of this world and beautiful. So thank you so much for that.
Oh, you are welcome. It was our honor. And thank you for the honor to sit next to you.
So then she gifted me your book, Moments of Divine Inspiration, 365 Daily Words for Self-Discovery, Transformation, and Self-Love. And I tell you, I've been using it every day, actually maybe even a couple times a day sometimes, opening it up to different pages and just seeing what I need to hear right now. And just before the show, I turned to page 261, and it's all love. I love it.
Which we each are all love.
And so we are. So I love the fact that you're on the show. We'll talk more about the book in a moment. And, you know, Tracy, you're in such a beautiful space, I feel, from the energy that you give, from the way you show up. And it's easy to think, well, you're so beautiful and you got a great voice, so you're lovely and all that stuff. You know so much. But there's a journey that brings us here. And there's a learning, there's a process. And I was shocked. You didn't share this, but I was shocked when I looked at some of the things that that are in the book and that I saw in your bio. You've been through a lot to get here.
Mm-hmm. The adventure of life, as they say.
So how do you look at all that now? Do you kind of think or maybe wish sometimes that you could have just been here without having gone through?
Oh, that's definitely a loaded question. But sitting back and reviewing it all and reflecting, I would say, no, I'm grateful for everything that happened. I may not have, be grateful for some of the reactions I had until I learned to respond, but I'm grateful for the journey and the lessons that were brought, were learned, and embodied. And, and the
Well,
people along the journey and along the
the good and the questionable.
Well, as a mentor said, she went, there's some that are the smooth, silky, and the others are the friction sandpapers. And she goes, you think the smooth, silky are the best for you, but the friction sandpapers actually teach you the most. Yeah. And when you learn to love that friction and sandpaper into smoothness, then you continue on.
You know, your positivity is so smooth, and it's so present, and obviously you have learned a lot along the way, but you had positivity inspired in you as a child, right? From
Yeah, I
your
was very blessed with my parents.
Tell us a little bit about that if you would, because it's inspiring.
I was blessed with my father. He was very positive and had the ability to ask questions. There were so many times we used to tease that if we misbehaved, we're like, just do a spanking and be over with it instead of, oh no, we're sitting down. And then he would ask, okay, so why did you do it? Then we would reflect. And yeah, and he instead of judgmental, it was always a question, but the question empowered us to either go aha or oh shit. And then think about it. Yeah, and answer. And he would be very calm, sometimes methodical. And if our answer was not quite the most conducive to learning, he would say, did you maybe want to rephrase that? Or is there a different perspective? Yeah.
When you were little?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
I remember a lesson. I was 10. It was just after my 10th birthday, and my father loved apple pie. My mother had made apple pie and had not been a very good child that day. So it was one of those where my mom's like, okay, if she's yours, you take care of it. So we sat down, and you could just smell this pie. And he had inquired, would you like a piece? I said, sure. So he gave me this tiny little sliver, and then he put the pie in front of him. And we began to discuss what happened, and he asked questions, and I was in my oh, woe is me victim, and blah, 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 blah. And mom did this, and mom did that. And he goes, oh, really? Okay. He says, well, who were the participants in this? I said, well, it was mom and I. He goes, oh, so he looked down and he said, and so you're a piece of pie. And I'm like, yeah. He goes, that could be you. And then he looked at the pie in front of him and he said, so this could be your mother's perspective, because there's always a 360. So do you think maybe you could broaden your view of how
Wow.
you're looking at everything, maybe a little bit bigger? And I went, does that mean I get a bigger piece of pie? My dad went, let's try this again. So yeah, was very
Well,
blessed for his insight.
of course, we all want to know, did you get more pie? Did you get there?
Yeah, he was very funny. He put the pie in front. He said, you have your choice. And I was like, no, I'll stick with the little baby pie. Yeah.
Oh,
Yeah. But
what
anyways.
that's that I would say that that's encouraging wisdom. Is that, would you say that, or if not, what is your definition of wisdom?
Well, my def it is encouraging wisdom, and wisdom is when you have an experience and you release the emotional charge or frustration or irritation, whichever word you choose to label it, and you take away the wisdom of what you've learned from it. The wisdom of whether it chooses to change a belief, change a response, change an habitual responding, reacting pattern, or habitual false belief. about yourself, your abilities, or your perspective outward. The gift to share with others.
And it grows. You know, I've said, people say, oh, they're older and wiser. And I have not liked that phrase, because I have met some people that I didn't think were older and wiser. I thought they were older. So when people say, oh, we all grow older and wiser, I say, we all grow older. I think it's a choice to grow wiser.
Yes.
So learning along the way, you know, learning about you and reading through your book, Moments of Divine Inspiration, I feel gratitude is a big part of what you are asking people to take to heart. Tell us about that.
Oh my goodness, not only to take it to heart, but to live with that attitude of gratitude and to vibrate that gratitude. I appreciate Dr. Joe Dispenza's perspective. Gratitude is the ultimate receivership energy. And when you're grateful for something, you've already gotten it. Even though at that moment you may say, no, I haven't gotten it, but being grateful to it and having that energy in your heart, and you are emitting that energy outward, whether you're aware of it intentionally or not intentionally, it is being emitted outward. And having it in your heart has a larger magnetic field capacity outward than does your mind. So beginning in your heart, centering in your heart, and then the coherence between your mind and heart, and mixing all of that with gratitude and infusing it just to become and be grateful. So you not only live an attitude of gratitude, but that's who you are.
And what about outward signs of gratitude, showing gratitude? How important is that?
It's essential. And then it becomes your perspective and what you'd like to experience in life. And as it was explained earlier, the energy we live in is constantly responding to us by corresponding to us. So with that awareness and the intelligence of that, and then the wisdom, and as Einstein said, the field is always governing the matter. I'm matter. So if my matter is going to go out in a vibrational form, I'd prefer it to be grateful, gratitude, graciousness, gratefulness, that the appreciation in one way or another that's returned, but also with the energetic non-attachment, it's not necessary for any of it to be returned for me to be happy.
Now, so you make a distinction between mindset and heart set. So if we have a mindset of gratitude or a heart set of gratitude, I take it those are two different things, or do we need both?
They are two different things, and it's a benefit to having both. That is an incredible benefit of the HeartMath Institute, where you bring your mind and heart in coherence. So doing a wonderful, just simple physical, bringing your hand to your heart. So that physical action, it brings your awareness within your mindset and your focus down to your heart. And where your focus goes is where your energy flows. So bringing that awareness and energy of your mind and your focus into your heart, and then blending it with gratitude, gratefulness, or appreciation, you're emanating that energy outward in a beautiful, wonderful, impactful ripple effect, not only just for your own physical well-being, but also and the well-being of those around you in our world.
There's so much in the book that I would love to get into page by page, actually. But I want to make sure we get to this point, especially since this is the Life Changes show. And you say how life is changing quicker than a human's capacity to keep up. What do we do with that? Uh-oh. Or what?
Well, we can say, uh-oh, or we can say opportunities.
Oh.
And use that O for opportunities, and then the H for happiness, or how.
Nice.
And then bringing it into learning the inner work, and the inner work of your mindset, your heart set, that what each involve, and then how to go about with releasing the old beliefs, because we learn what we lived. So many of us are operating on old belief systems that were said to us as we were a young child, but that mind that was not fully developed, but was listening, recording, and we're tribal species. So we look at anybody older than us, and if they're alive, we look, they survived. So then we learn from their behavior as, oh, that is a type and a way to survive. And then as we grow older, we're like, oh, you know, that defensive mechanism that worked when I was a child, I'm now beginning to learn, oh, it's working against me. So now I'm learning I have the ability to unlearn, which is an inner job, not an outer job. Go to class. It's like I go to class to learn the inner work, as they say. And then begin to reprogram that mindset, and then bringing it heart coherence. So, because the heart knows the truth of who you are, and it knows that those false beliefs, an example, I may not be good enough, I'm not able or capable enough, your heart and your higher guidance inside is going, not the truth. But yet your subconscious, when you say I'm good enough, is going, yeah, right, don't believe it. I've been working on that belief, you are not good enough. So I'm still here on that vibrational level.
Could you speak to the unlearning process? How, what more can you tell us about learning versus unlearning?
Well, unlearning is an inner process where you become aware. And with awareness, when you're aware of something, you have the ability to change it. You can choose, do you prefer to stay that way or do you prefer to change it? Like if you have the awareness, is that working for you? Or, oh, maybe another more compassionate, more loving, more softer approach, more heart-centered approach could be a better approach for my health than that. And then it is a repetitive, consistent practice of whether you choose to do it through a hypnotherapy, you choose to do it through affirmations, you choose to do it through writing, journaling, reprogramming that. So you're like, okay, I'm not good enough. Well, let's rewrite that affirmation that's been repetitively playing in your mind into a question. Because when we make a statement, I'm not good enough, our mind subconscious knows yes or no that you've been believing on it. Boom, right away. So if I have saying, I am good enough, I am good enough, my whole body's going to go, not likely. But if I say, what if I am good enough? All of a sudden, the brain cannot have two opposing thoughts. So then it's the brain starts to go, oh, well, oh. And you pause that habitual instant reaction of no, you aren't good enough, to what if? And it opens it up to a possibility thinking. And then once you start to deteriorate, one belief deteriorates. I love cold place pillars in the sand. It's like your brain's going, oh wait, there's a possibility, and it starts to figure it out. What if it could work out? What if this isn't true, where you do not get that instant yes, no confirmation that you're so habitually used to living with, and you feel innately and cellularly within your body besides energetically? It's like, oh, let's open it up to questions and then the power of questions. And it can go from there where then how you phrase the question can begin the learning process besides begin the unlearning process.
I want to talk a little bit about loving yourself. That concept came up in my mind a couple times while going through the various pages, like even happiness or even control or boundaries. There seems to me that there has to be a level of loving yourself in order to level up to some of this. So how do you define loving yourself? And please give us a couple examples.
Loving yourself has many different, whether you could say compartments, aspects to it. First, it would be, do you believe you're worthy of love?
Ooh.
And when we grew up, our perspective of love was the attention that we got. And that as a child, it's a definition, if I get attention, then I'm loved. So we learn to look outside ourselves for the love, not inside ourselves for the love. I know I never had a class, even whether it was within the church, whether it was in school, of a class to say, okay, we're going to sit down and we're going to learn how to love ourselves. It's like, what? And an example, how you mentioned the word boundaries. Well, boundaries is a beautiful example of loving yourself because so many times we lose ourselves by loving another. And we feel that we have to put ourselves on the side or in the back seat and do everything for this person. And once I know they're happy, and they're happy with me making them happy, then I feel loved. It's like, okay, let me learn the definition of self-love. And many times that occurs after we've learned that we've completely lost who we are. We've lost what makes us happy. We lost what brings joy to us. But boy, we could tell you that other person, we could tell you everything that makes them happy, everything that brings them joy, and what we need to do. So it's, boundaries are a beautiful expression of loving yourself. And the more you love you inward, you have a greater capacity of receiving love. And in our perspective of love, we think of, oh, somebody happy with me. And that's receiving love. But then we go back and go, I'm not worthy of receiving love. So then we're closed. And you think of it, people, they enjoy giving a gift. You give a gift, the person feels so good. You're so happy. But when somebody gives you a gift, do you fully accept it with that joy and abundance you gave? Or do you go, well, oh, thank you. Well, maybe. It's like we begin to teach women, we're like, well, if you get a compliment, just say thank you. And look them in the eyes. People get a compliment and they immediately look down or like, well, I just got it on sale or whatever. It's like look them in the eyes and just say thank you.
Wow. So true. And that speaks to their perception also of themselves, their worthiness, or how they think other people see them. Right?
Right. And we say, try this step. Try acknowledging and recognizing yourself. People don't. I mean, it's beautiful. Louise Hayes was the mirror work. Hi, Fi, I love myself. Well, it's like some people, yeah, that's a little too much for me. Well, when you lay down and you put your head in the pillow is a beautiful opportunity to begin to reprogram your mental beliefs and your energetic receptivity of love and the internal love within you. Just acknowledge yourself for something that you did today. I mean, it can be something as simple as like, I got up, I made the bed today. It's like high five. But you've shifted that vibration. And as they say, energetically, the vibration that we go to sleep is the same vibration we wake up. So many times, and I know myself, I would go to bed and about the day, or I did this, or oh my God, I screwed up, da, da, da. And then boom. And the next morning, wake up and it's like, ooh, I wonder why I'm a little irritated. I don't know. Let's reevaluate what I fell asleep. Self-judgment, criticism. Yeah. Yeah. Just high five yourself and acknowledge yourself for something that you did that day before you go to sleep and say thank you.
Dr. Rhonda Donahue's words that she's written about the book that's on the back cover, Moments of Divine Inspiration, is your companion guiding you through the highs and lows, the joys and challenges of life. And I love that because it's acknowledging the lows and the challenges of life. And so it's not just about, oh, I feel good or I'm inspired. Even if we're not feeling great, if we turn to something like, well, I'm feeling great right now, so it's not going to be the same. But if I turn to something like presence, actually, that's probably perfect. If I'm not feeling great and I open up to page 71, presence, what would it say to me in my not so great moment?
In the not so great moment, presence is who you are at that moment. So it's like, okay, it's not a great moment, but then it's okay that it's not okay. It's okay that you're not okay. We don't need the common phrase of the toxic positivity. I'm not really feeling okay. I'm not happy right now, and I need to be positive. It's like, at that moment, energetically and emotionally, your body's saying, nah, no, mm-mm. So your presence, like, just honor your presence. I'm not feeling okay at this moment. And then a question where many of us, when we're experiencing challenges, frustrations, irritations, it's like, why is this happening to me? To switch the question to, why is this happening for me?
Mm-hmm.
Every situation, challenge, irritating person is an opportunity that is being presented to us by the universe to learn, become wiser, learn this lesson. Not only become wiser, but open yourself to the love that you are, to receiving the love. And then saying, maybe I'm beginning to choose to be a little bit more loving. And let's start with ourselves first. Everyone puts other people first, but there's nothing wrong with being selfish and saying, at the moment, I need some time. I need to pause. I might need to walk away from this. I need, half a day. It's great to know that when you're in a relationship or you're in a conversation with someone, and if you do have that. If not, they're like, okay, you know what? We don't really have time for this. So let's just pause. Let's take a break. Let's close our eyes. Let's breathe. Let's reset our energetic presence. And that pause, that space, opens it up for possibilities, opportunities, or maybe a resolution. Or even if, you know what? Let's finish this conversation tomorrow.
Let's not finish this conversation. Let's keep this particular conversation going. I could listen to you for the rest of the evening. And I love this phrase that you use, and I've heard you use it, conversations worth having. This is such.
The conversations that you have internally and the conversations that you have with other people. Yeah, because your conversation with yourself has just, for many of us, become so habitual. We're so used to that negative self-doubting, judgmental voice within us. It's just become habit. It's become normal until we become aware of it. And then once I begin to change the conversation within and that awareness, it helps me begin to learn the tools to have conversations and to listen to the other conversations.
And as we like to say, to conversations that matter. And thank you so much for sharing like you have. And we feel the caring. So thank you for caring. So for those who are interested in Moments of Divine Inspiration, 365 Daily Words for Self-Discovery, Transformation, and Self-Love by Tracy J. Smith, they could go to Amazon. We have the link, but where else can they go? They can go to your Instagram, right, at Blissful Releases or Release.
Blissful Release on the Instagram, and they can also go to the website, and it's a blissful release. It doesn't have to be painful to release and let go.
And so blissfulreleasenow.com is the website. Tracy, you are such a pleasure to connect with and listen to, and thank you for, I'm so enjoying the book, and we'll continue to, and look forward to more with you.
Well, thank you. I'm honored to be here. It is, yes, an honor and a privilege. And thank you to all your audience for them taking the time to listen. Your time's your most valuable asset. So thank you. And I'm looking forward to listening to Ruby.
Us too. Thank you, Tracy J. Smith. And again, Moments of Divine Inspiration. Find it on Amazon. We have the link. And then, of course, you can go to blissfulreleasenow.com or Blissful Release on Instagram. And more links at the Life Changes Show. I feel blissful, Mark. I really do.
I think you should keep opening the book and seeing what you tap into.
Right, because it's really helped. Mindfulness just now.
See that?
And the other side of it was voice. So actually, funny that.
Mindfulness, voice, and all love.
Actually, I'm glad I did that because I don't think I've been looking at the other side as much. I looked,
well, there's a metaphor.
Yeah, actually. And you know what? It's interesting that you say that because every inspiration that I've gotten from the book has led to something else or has come up in conversation with people, and the word has stuck with me or the learnings from the pages. And we're reminded of so many bad things going on in the world everywhere we look, right? We need reminders of the good where we choose to look.
The grass is greener on the other page.
And also what we choose to listen to. This is where the show started, like who we choose to listen to, and
full circle, and the vibration we hold. What a great conversation, and just the beginning.
Yes, I feel the same. And with that, we have our Ask Dorothy segment.
Dear Dorothy, this is Anna. I am so sad because my mother died today. We have had a turbulent relationship, even though I have taken care of her for the last 3 years. Her dying words were, "Thank you for all you have done for me. I love you." So my questions are, why did it take her so long to express her love for me? How do I forgive myself for not having a more loving relationship with her? I have fought for peace my entire life, and I need to know how I can ever find peace now.
Dearest Anna, I am so deeply sorry for your loss. Losing a parent is never simple, and when the relationship has been turbulent, the grief can feel even heavier and more complicated. Often our parents have had troubled childhoods and can only express love in the way they received it. So let's remember that love was there all along, but not expressed in the ways you most longed for. You've carried so much, caring for her in her final years, navigating a difficult bond, and now trying to make sense of her last words. Sometimes people struggle their whole lives to say the words we most long to hear. Love has been inside her all along, but fear, pride, old wounds, or her own limitations kept it locked away. At the end, when all the defenses fell away, she spoke from her truest self. Those final words, "I love you," may have been her way of finally giving you the gifts she couldn't give before. That doesn't erase the turbulence, but it shows that love was always there, even if it wasn't spoken. As for how to forgive yourself, let's remember that you both were having a human experience. A relationship is never carried by one person alone. The fact that you showed up, cared for her when she needed you most, and stayed by her side despite the difficulties says more about your heart than any conflict ever could. Forgiving yourself might start with recognizing the truth. You did enough, more than enough. Forgiveness here isn't about forgetting the pain, but about releasing yourself from the weight of what should have been. Forgiveness can lead you to the peace you seek. Peace isn't something you force. It unfolds gently, often in small moments. Peace doesn't mean not feeling sadness or anger. It means letting those emotions move through you without judgment. Although she is no longer here in body, her soul is alive and very much with you. So please talk to her in your heart. You can still tell her the things left unsaid. I lovingly suggest that you write to her a letter expressing your love for her and read it out loud to her higher self. And, Anna, please know that her last words were an opening. She left you with acknowledgement and love. That can be the foundation of peace if you let it sink in. Peace may not come all at once. It may come in waves, moments of calm, then moments of grief. But each wave is part of the healing. And her last words, "Thank you, I love you," can be your compass whenever the storm rises. This could also be a perfect time for you to stop fighting for peace. We can only experience peace when we choose to become peaceful. It will be good for you to totally release the past and only bring with you to your beautiful future her last words, because these words express her true and undying love for you. These words are a great gift, and if you choose to focus on them, you can find peace. And let's remember that peace takes practice and can only come to us when we love and forgive ourselves for any and all less than elegant choices. When we truthfully love ourselves, peace becomes an important part of who we are.
Thank you, Dorothy. And if you have a question for Dorothy, peacefully write her at askdorothy@lifechangesshow.com.
Oh, I didn't want to laugh at that. And with that, it's time for our performance segment. And our performer, our very special performer, is a singer, a songwriter. She's a producer, a DJ, and a ceremonialist. Can't wait to ask about that. She is Ruby Chase. Welcome, Ruby, to the Life Changes Show.
Hello. So happy to be here.
So great to have you on. And on this particular show, when I shared with you the title of our show, I said, does this sound like anybody? Be empowered to live a life fulfilled with purpose, authenticity, and love. So that was inspired by our guest. And you embody that as well.
Oh, thank you. It's definitely the intention, you know, that's the life goal. If we can all just do that, then we can make great use of our humanness, I believe.
Well, speaking of making great use of our humanness, you too are a guide, and you guide from the stage as you're DJing and singing and dancing and moving the audience. When did you first envision that kind of opportunity, or that's what I came to do?
Yeah, I definitely discovered it throughout my life of how it has evolved at this time. You know, the way that it's the way that I share my art, but that core intention, really what you shared at the beginning of the show, that awareness that art impacts us on so many levels. And honestly, that really blew me away when you were talking about the karma of the artist in an art piece.
Yeah.
And I really relate to that because I believe that it's even so much more than that. It's the karma, it's the journey, it's also the transformation that the artist has gone through in order to turn whatever experience that they've had into art. And that can be, you know, a heartbreak, that can be a beautiful experience, whatever the life change that brings the inspiration to make the art piece or write a song. You know, I feel like I've felt that so sensitively through my life. And it was always a very clear directive, almost of like a dharmic calling to create art that could bring people closer to themselves, that could catalyze something in our remembrance of why we're here and the beautiful potential that is here. It's like what you mentioned, you know, we have infinite reminders of the challenge every single day. But if we can tune our channel and kind of dial our focus into what we want to be attuning with, then that becomes our reality. And it's a choice every single moment.
Beautiful. And I wanted to ask you a couple more questions before we played a song, but what you said feels to me like Let Me Be Medicine. Am I right? I mean, tell us about Let Me Be Medicine.
Oh, yeah. It's my prayer. It's my intention to be the medicine. And I think that we all have that potential, you know, rather than to take the medicine, right? We've grown up with our modern medicine being a response to a problem or a sickness, a disease, right? Is where we would receive medicine. But if we can learn to be our own medicine, to be that antidote, to be able to respond to life from that heart-centered place, then we don't need to outsource that healing anywhere other than our own ability to be it. And so that's the prayer of my life, really, and the prayer of the song.
Oh, well, let's have that prayer right now. So here is Ruby Chase's song that has been pre-recorded and enjoyed already by many, many, many. Let Me Be Medicine, now on the Life Changes Show. Ruby Chase. Ruby Chase and her music is the medicine. Ruby Chase, just like it sounds, R-U-B-Y-C-H-A-S-E, is where you can find her on all the socials, and rubychasemusic.com is her website. We have links for her at the Life Changes Show page. Find her there. Ruby, I was going to say I can't believe, but I'm going to believe. You said the word antidote and or antidote, and I had written that down after you and I spoke. I literally wrote myself a note that should it come up on the show to mention how I find it interesting that so much of what you do, not only with the causes that you support, but your music also and the artists that you work with and all that, is an antidote for what's going on in the world right now. And I thought, isn't that interesting that the problems and the antidote come together, arrive at the same time, and it's for us to choose which ones we want to give energy to.
100%. I mean, it's all a catalyst. And I love that you actually wrote that down before as well, because I mean, how many catalysts are we faced with right now, especially at this moment in history? It's completely unprecedented. I mean, we've never seen a generation grow up with cell phones. The rise of AI, you know, the brink of so much human potential and also devastation. You know, it's what we make of it. And I always am doing my best to approach what we're seeing as such a great opportunity. I really love how Tracy brought the uh-oh into how opportune, right. You know, we have this moment that is, it's a tower moment. You know, we've got systems that we've known are crumbling and shifting and changing. And it's throughout history been the artists, the mystics, the poets, the ones that kept the truth alive, that told the stories that could shape where we're headed. And I see so much powerful opportunity in this moment to be able to direct it in a really, really beautiful way and learn from our past and shape our future.
Hear, hear. Ruby, this is a great introduction for the next song. However, I still have a couple of questions that I'm going to ask them, because speaking of how it all comes together, you actually had the vision of something like this as a child, like right from the get-go, I think.
Yeah. You know, one of my favorite things to do as a kid was to play pretend. And I think so many of us can relate to this, right? We'd decide we're mermaids and create the scenario and ultimately utilize the power of our imagination to sculpt the world. And that has always been, you know, it's like my blessing and my curse is my infinite hopeful vision of what can be created from this point moving forward. And I like to believe it to be beautiful. You know, if we can choose, why not make it the best ever? And I call it heaven on earth is kind of what I've always come back down to. And it's been this prayer. And it's not to be necessarily some utopian society. I don't believe that planet Earth is meant to be just us naked without money running around, you know, just having the best time ever. I believe the duality of this place is important for us to feel the depth and the challenge and all of the human feelings, but that this vision of heaven on earth could actually be us working in right relationship with each other, with the earth, remembering why we're here, fulfilling our creative gifts, fulfilling our infinite potential to create as humans. You know, it's a great gift. And I live by that vision. I live in that vision. I remind myself constantly of that hope and that prayer. And with the intention that we can pass a beautiful world on to our future generations as the life changes, you know, as it keeps moving and turning over.
It's obvious that you put that out when you're on stage, when you're creating the music, the recorded music. Do you feel it from the audience?
Oh, 100%. It is such a conversation that we're in together. And I feel so blessed and just grateful that I get to have this as my role, to get to kind of be a conduit for a group energy. There's nothing I love more than being on stage and getting to share music that can bring us all into the same frequency. Because it's like what you shared, you know, if you look at one painting, you're going through the process of what that was created. And similarly, why it feels so good to experience live music is because we are going on this group experience where we're moving through the feelings and emotions and the different territory from which that art was created, mixed with the environment, mixed with all of the different human experiences happening simultaneously. It creates such an infinite potential. It's like this limitless field of miracles and of opportunity and of change and transformation. You know, how many of us have experienced something on a dance floor where there's like that big euphoric aha moment and our life is never the same again? Like, that is what's possible in these spaces. And I love it the most. I'm so grateful to get to share art in that way.
Well, thank you for sharing it. And thank you for sharing. This is the introduction to the song. I mean, what else could it be? But the way you just described all that, actually, one more point to that, what you just said, you actually have a song. I think it's called, is it called Water?
Yeah.
And then in parentheses, 462, you had the frequency, right? Hertz? Yeah,
432
hertz. 432 hertz, right. So tell us about that, because I think it's important for people to know that the frequency and how it affects us and all that.
Definitely. Well, I mean, music is essentially waves moving. So is light. So our emotions, like, it's all just waves kind of moving around, bouncing off each other and creating our experience of life. And most music is tuned to 440, which was a generalized kind of creation from tonal harmony way back when the Western music was becoming standardized and we needed a way to tune things so that a piano and a guitar and a cello and a violin could all play together and it would be in harmony with each other. Now, what this has done is it has attuned our entire reality to this frequency. And there's a lot of really cool science to dig into around what different frequencies create what different environmental shifts in our body. And 432 is the harmonic of the earth. And so with the song Water, we really wanted to bring in that earth frequency and have it be harmonizing our system. And there's so much to dig into within this topic. I mean,
Each
frequency has its own bandwidth of where it hits you in the body. Like, it's really deep and cool. And we could live there for a while.
I love that you know this. And actually, yes, well, we've already talked about the next time you're going to be on the show, so more later. In the meantime, enough teasing this song. Here is Ruby Chase and her pre-recorded song Heaven on Earth here on the Life Changes Show.
Moving mountains, God saying you can count on it. Bringing stones to the valley, sing it up as an offering. Then we still the silence. Keepers of the flame, we protect the waters. Listen to the land, we are nature's daughters. And we're here on a mission, call it in, call it in. lights and angels, benevolent ancestors. All my sisters, brothers, all my father's mothers. We can make it if we see it, anchor it if we believe it. Gotta breathe it, yeah, it's up to us, can't quit. Like the flame and then we stay lit. Keepers of the flame, we protect the waters. Listen to the land, we are nature's daughters. And we're still on a mission. We're calling it in, call it in. We're calling it in. When you're on your own, know that you're not alone. We're already ready, already.
Heaven on Earth. This is our Heaven on Earth episode. Truly, this has been so great. Ruby Chase, and your music is available where music is available and live performances and all that. But I found we got Spotify links. We've got you all over the place, actually. So we've got links. But the best place is Ruby Chase, RubyChase, music.com is a good start. And then Ruby Chase on Instagram and Facebook is and Twitter, but or X, but Facebook is Miss Ruby Chase. Is that right, Miss Ruby Chase?
Yeah, Instagram's a good way, though. You know, get your music where you'll get your music, and we can hang out on Instagram and talk story.
Well, I am so glad you hung out with us tonight, with Dorothy and Mark and Tracy and all of us here at the Life Changes Show. This has been such a pleasure.
This has been so beautiful. Thank you so much for having me. And wow, I feel absolutely lit up from all these conversations.
Me too. And so a big thank you to you, Ruby, and until next time, and all the best.
Mahalo. Thanks, everyone.
Mahalo. Looking forward to more from your music camp. And with that, after this big thank you to Ruby Chase, another big thank you to our interview guest, Tracy Smith. And that is our show. On behalf of our executive producer, Dorothy Lee Donahue, and our executive producer and co-host, Mark Lejeur, and on behalf of our whole family here at the Life Changes Show, I am your host, Filippo Voltaggio, reminding you that as your life changes, like ours surely did tonight, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at The Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.